This is Bayou Rugby with Gift E.
We're talking about a very special team here.
God, have you let it in? Help!
This is Bayou Rugby with Gift E.
You say it was just a left to the head and then a right.
I don't understand how, I don't understand why, but all I know is it didn't work. It didn't work.
Here's a chance for the skipper.
The best and only analysis for Louisiana rugby.
Objection, hearsay.
Look, you can't do that kind of stuff on the field. It ruins the way the game is played.
That was a heck of an effort.
Bayou Rugby, Gift E.
We don't need your education. We don't need your thought control.
Welcome to the show, guys. It's Bayou Rugby with Gift E, Gift A Bailu, if you really need to know. I just want to remind you guys can find us on Twitter at Gift Time Sports Network, or you can find us on Facebook, Facebook page, Gift Time Sports Network. You can find us at Gift Time, Facebook.com/Gift Time Productions, or you can email us at gifttimeproductions@gmail.com. So you guys know before the show starts, and I hope you guys have been having a great week this week. Rugby for this week is definitely on the slow side, as we are in that wonderful transit period between when the regular season has really officially come to an end and the main and major playoffs are about to begin. But we still have some information and we have some good news and good show for you guys today. We're going to start off looking at the scores from this past weekend. We had LSU in the conference rounds, and we had an old boys tournament this past weekend that we got a chance to find out about. Also, we'll get a chance to talk to Hunter Guidry, who was part of the winning Baton Rouge Old Boys squad, and he'll let us know about how they won, how it got down, and a little bit about the Old Boys. Finally, we'll also get a chance to just talk a little bit about what's coming up for rugby for this year, for this summer, so that you guys know what's happening, teams that are just popping up, teams that will start to make a competition, and kind of what we want to go with it and take it from there. And finally, always end it with our possible scores for this weekend, which I'll tell you right now, there are none because no Louisiana teams are playing. Welcome back to the show. We are going to go and take a look at the scores. We'll be this past right week. Back. Now, the only games that we had two games for this past weekend. We had LSU going up to Atlanta to play for the Southeastern Rugby Conference title, as well as we had New Orleans Half Moon, the New Orleans women's team, going to Hattiesburg to play Hattiesburg. Now, let's start off with college like we normally do. Now, LSU had a chance to go up to Atlanta to go play for the Southeastern Conference. They were heavy favorites. They were going up against South Carolina, the team that they had lost to earlier in the season, and they were looking for a chance for a rematch. Now, we talked to Alan Alonji last week about the preparation that they had for this game, and they knew that they wanted to take this game as serious as possible, not leaving anything on the table. Now, we had predicted that this would have been a close game because the previous game was a 23-13 loss for LSU, and you knew it was a revenge game. A lot of times revenge matches are going to be as close as the ones prior. So we had predicted it to be a 24-10 win for LSU. The actual score ended up being 36-28 in South Carolina's favor, and that is absolutely devastating considering that, the seniors that are leaving, this is their second year in a row getting to this level and second year in a row losing in that semifinal round for the Southeastern Conference Championship. But we had made the prediction of, LSU winning and playing Tennessee, and we got about half of it correct. We had Tennessee making it to the other one, but they ended up beating South Carolina for the conference championship and bid into the Sweet 16, 46-34. But that's meaningless because they're not from Louisiana, so we really don't care. But, we feel for this LSU team. It was a strong team. They're going to be a changeover of the guard. and continued success that goes for them. So we know that they're going to be able to jump from this one, and hopefully next year, third time is the charm, and they'll be able to get to that next level. Now, moving on to club, we had the Half Moon, the New Orleans Women's Half Moon, playing at Hattiesburg against Hattiesburg, or USM as they used to be called, but I think they moved to the club so they can have a little bit more maneuverability. Now, this is a New Orleans women's team. You know, they're getting their season started. Women's season starts a little bit later than the men's, and crosses over into the fall just a little bit. Doesn't really go all summer, but it crosses into the fall, so there's a gap period of time. But, you know, we expected New Orleans women to be able to win this game. They're not a bad squad. They have a good coach who's one of the New Orleans rugby Division I A-side players. And he's been coaching. He used to play for LSU. And, you know, they have the learning to be able to do what they're supposed to. So we expected them to be able to win this game. We expected it a close game just because we understood that in Houston, whenever they went to do the round robin against Dallas, that they were going to have, you know, maybe there would be a numbers issue. But in the end, we predicted that New Orleans women were going to end up winning this game 24-15. We weren't too far from that. New Orleans ended up winning, but they ended up destroying Hattiesburg 50-22 to be able to go and get their first initial matrix win. So that we give them props to that. Congratulations to New Orleans women. And we hope that they have continued success through the season. So that was it for all the games that we had for this week. It wasn't very much. Again, we're at that period of time where it's just the playoffs are about to start. So, and not a lot of Louisiana teams made it in. So hopefully, you know, whenever New Orleans D1 plays Chicago Griffins, which I have to admit, I had made a prediction for that last week and didn't realize that I was looking at the calendar wrong. And it was not saying for the 13th or the 20th, it was saying it for April 27th, which would be next weekend. So we'll do the predictions again for that. But that's the only Louisiana team that seems to have made it into the playoffs. ULL made their championship game, but we still haven't heard whether they've made an at-large bid, but it doesn't look like they have. So, but anyways, next up on the show, we're going to have Mr. Hunter Guidry on and talking to us a little bit about old boys rugby. So you guys stay tuned and we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We got a chance to catch up with Hunter Guidry, one of the Baton Rouge rugby players, and he actually was part of the Baton Rouge rugby team for the Old Boys this past weekend for the French Quarter Fest Masters Tournament held in New Orleans at Gretna, New Orleans Stadium and Field, Gretna Field. So we had a chance to be able to talk with him and just find out a little bit about what Old Boys rugby is and how they were able to do. Hunter, thanks for making it on the show today.
Hey, man. How you doing, everybody?
We're doing great, Hunter. Thanks for being able to make it on the show.
No problem. Just out here by the pond doing a little crawfishing and turtle fishing, so you know it's all good.
Hey, that's how you get it done, man. That's how you get it done. Now, I want to congratulate you guys on your big win this past weekend. Can you tell us a little bit, what is this? What was the French Quarter Fest tournament?
Well, basically, New Orleans Old Boys puts on the French Quarter Masters Tournament. They have divisions for 35 and older, 35 to 50, and then 50 and older. They've been putting it on for several years now. Actually, Baton Rouge has participated in the last 3 years, and I hate to say, we actually won it the last 3 years. So this is our three-peat this year. Very exciting times. We had a really good team, bunch of old young guys. Most of the guys are anywhere between 35 and 40, 42, 43, I think. It was a great day of rugby. New Orleans puts on an excellent event. The proceeds actually go towards New Orleans youth rugby. And out there on last Saturday, it was a great day because had a bunch of old guys out there, but then they also had some young teams. They had some 5 and older, and I think 10 and older teams, and they were practicing and playing some rugby. So it was really neat playing rugby.
Oh no, and that's awesome. Now, what was it that you got? Who was it that you guys usually put together for this team for the old boys? I know Baton Rouge has its history, but you know where are you guys finding the people to put for this team?
Well, it's funny because Baton Rouge, you know, we half the team, half the A side teams are made up of old boys, you know. But just put a few calls out to some guys. We had some guys travel in. We're supposed to have some guys coming in from Denver, but they canceled on us. But we had a couple guys coming from Mobile that helped us out for Battleship Old Boys, Tiny and Rob Corley, and also Horner. And we had a couple guys from Memphis. Well, it started out there were 5, actually 7 teams that were going to play in the 35 and older division, but after combining and canceling, it turned out there was only 4 teams. New Orleans, a team out of Washington, D.C., Baton Rouge, of course, and a team out of Texas that was a combination of Austin, Houston, and Dallas that all got together. So we played a little rugby, and, you know, we played a little round robin, and Baton Rouge went 3-0 on the day. Pretty dominant rugby force, if you will. And it was a great day, though, but it was a great tournament, and it was great to see a bunch of the older guys out there. Man, no offense to you guys over 50, but they were out there playing, and I tell you what, those guys still rock on the rugby pitch. But they had 4 teams as well. And New Orleans Old Boys, the Lou Garçons, they call themselves. Mm-hmm. They actually won the tournament for the 15 older division. So it was a really, really great day.
Now, is this a tournament, not the tournament, but this old boy gathering, is this something that can happen regularly, or is this only for specific events, namely like how you guys had for the Masters tournament today, that last week?
Well, Old Boys Rugby is, you know, it's the guys that, it's a lot of guys that play A-side, but the majority of the guys only come out, you know, once, twice a year for tournaments, you know, and whenever their wives will let them out the house, of course. Most of the rugby guys have burnt bridges over the years, but these guys get to come out a couple times a year. Like I said, the New Orleans French Quarter Fest Masters Tournament has been something they're putting on. It's only getting bigger and bigger, you know. They're doing a great job. This year is a little bigger than last year, and hopefully it'll keep growing. But as far as the old guys, you know, we like to get out there and just see each other, you know, the guys that played with the ditch many years ago, and get out there and play some rugby and drink a bunch of beer and just, you know, celebrate rugby and life, if you will.
Oh, and I remember whenever you were on the show the last time, you were talking about transitioning more into the old boys stuff. Now, does that one organize? Do you guys think that there would be some smaller league that could be created for it, so that, you know, you guys could be together more on a regular basis, or at least have that reunion feel on a more regular basis?
Yeah, and really, really trying to, you know, a lot of the guys that played in the 70s and 80s, you know, of course, they can't play competitive rugby anymore, so they're moving towards the old boys. But the problem is, there's not enough events, and it would really mainly have to focus on, like, tournament play, or even just having, like, alumni days and stuff like that to get more guys out and playing more often. With Baton Rouge, especially, me and Tom Ryan and Sid Dobson are really trying to push the Baton Rouge team and, you know, the old boys team, and try to get some of the guys that haven't played in a while, just come out, you know, do a couple practices and come out to some tournaments. And, you know, Baton Rouge, I would love to put on maybe an old boy tournament or just a game, get some alumni out from LSU and old Baton Rouge alumni, and start doing maybe once or twice a year, coincide with a golf tournament, you know, and all proceeds go towards youth rugby, you know. Just get together and get these guys out, you know, involved more with the team itself and playing. But, you know, I would like to see USA Rugby start something for old boys, man. You know, kind of like an old boy league. But the problem is, old boys teams are so far in between each other. I mean, there's teams, the closest one we have, of course, is New Orleans. But they get together once or twice a year. And Battleship has a real good old boy side. And, of course, Texas. So you really can't get more than just, you know, a couple, 3-4 times a year at the most.
Yeah.
I would like to really maybe start getting with these guys and organize more events.
Do you guys, so, you know, even if you guys don't have these events, is there any chances that you guys do maybe tours? I know a lot of teams, all-star teams, because it feels like the old boys are almost essentially, you know, a regional all-star team for the older players. Do you think that there's any tour, do you guys have any tours planned or anything like that?
Well, that's the thing about it. lot of the old boys teams, that's what they mainly do, is they do a big tour, maybe once or twice, once every 2 years, once a year. New Orleans has been great about that. They do a really big trip. I think they're heading to Ireland this next fall. They're going to play. They're going to be out there for 10 days. And the great thing about New Orleans, you know, they invited a lot of Baton Rouge guys, and they actually opened it up to some of the other guys around the state. And I think some of the Battleship guys maybe go on this tour. But it's a great opportunity. But most old boys teams do focus on some kind of tour. With Baton Rouge, I would love to get it together and maybe do a tour in the next 1 or 2 years. That's something we've talked about for sure. I know we've actually been invited by the Battleship old boys. They call themselves the Bobs. They go on tour. Heck, they've been to New Zealand, and I think they went to Hawaii last fall. So these guys, they do a lot of great trips. You know, it's just a matter of just starting to organize it better and maybe even, like I said, getting Baton Rouge in a good tour and get some guys out there and just, you know, enjoy, bring your wives and enjoy, you know, some foreign land and play rugby and drink all their beer.
Hey, you know, that's the dream. I know that's the dream right there.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Now backtracking a little bit, you know, going back to what happened in the game, who were some of the men of the matches that you got, the key players for the Baton Rouge team on winning this tournament?
Well, I'll tell you what, I must admit, I brought a couple ringers in. Tyler Dees is his name. He's actually plays for the U.S. Eagles Classics, but he got man of the tournament for us. And he walked away with a nice little tournament T-shirt. And, he's a rock-solid player. Intimidating as heck. Look at him, and he's tattooed and bald-headed and looks neat as heck. But one of the nicest guys I've ever known in my life. He won, as far as for Baton Rouge and the tournament, I think he basically won man of the match. Some other key players for Baton Rouge, Rick Horner from Battleship. He played center for us, and he rocked it. And, of course, Gil Guillory out of Lafayette. He's an MMA promoter and former Baton Rouge rugby guy, and he think he still wrestles and boxes, and he is a stud on the field still, and he had a great tournament. We did have a couple young guys that filled in some holes, and I think that caused a little animosity about our team, but these guys, I mean, they just came out and helped out. One was Squirrely. He was a little bit younger than 35, but he had a real good tournament, but he hadn't played rugby in almost 2 years, but it was good to see him out on the pitch. And it was just, everybody seemed to step up and play well. I mean, Rob Miller was out there. The Rob Miller experience was was something to see well. But as far as the other teams, every team has a couple studs that come out there. Guys are going to be 40, 50 years old and just still playing hard and don't give up, you know. Great thing about the rugby mentality on these old boy guys, they give it all when they get out there, you know. They just lay it all on the pitch, you know, and it's awesome to see that. These guys aren't half-assed, and they're really busting ass and trying to win big and just play hard for their team, so it's awesome to see.
Oh, and that's really good. Now, who, you know, in the three games that you guys played, who did you feel was the most, maybe not difficult, but most competitive against you guys?
I'll tell you, that team out of Washington, D.C., the Dragoons, I think they were called, they played very well. But they actually, it's neat because they're actually a couple old boys sides that play about once every 2 weeks up there in D.C. And of course, the East Coast has a huge old boy gathering, you know, so they can actually come together and they play on most Sundays and they just have fun. But they got together, and since they play so often and play together, they were a really hard side. And, of course, I have to say, Joris Vanderham, a former Baton Rouge player, he was playing for him. And he was, I don't know if he just wanted to play hard against Baton Rouge or if he, well, I think he's just that big a stud. But he actually played the best on their team, and we just had a tough time with him. But they were a really good team. New Orleans played very well. They were kind of beat down by the third game. They were hurting on numbers. We actually gave them one of our guys, Benji Haswell, for scrum half. Benji's old former Baton Rouge guy, and his dad actually founded the LSU rugby team at LSU back in 69, I think.
That's a nice legacy there.
Great having him back on the pitch. And I don't think he set foot on the pitch in about 10, 15 years. But it was great to see those guys out there, you know. And it just, you know, like I said, I just can't say that. It was great to see everybody out there. And of course, Texas, we played Texas hard. They're our first game, and that first half was just, it was a battle, you know. And of course, they have a former Baton Rouge rugby guy, Jose Aguilar playing for him, and he is, you look at him, you think he's about 20 years old, but he is just taking care of himself and fast as hell. So he played the best for them, just because I think he was playing against us. But, you know, it was just, you know, everybody just played well. I can't just stop saying that. You know, it was a great day.
Oh, no, and that's incredible. Now, you know, looking at the way that you guys are playing now, and you kind of, you know, with the old boys, the concept would be that you guys are old school. How did you feel, you know, playing rugby, you know, regular matrix rugby and playing old boy rugby? Do you feel like there's any major differences that come between the two?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, I've only been playing rugby 15 years, but I see the difference between, you know, rugby back in the late 90s and rugby now. I mean, they've made it, USA Rugby, and I understand why they've done it. They've changed a lot of the rules. One of them being the giving the boot, the proverbial rugby boot on someone that's laying offside or cheating, you know, and that used to be something you self-policed yourself on the field, and, you know, you could put a boot to somebody, and most referees, you know, would kind of let it go as long as you didn't boot someone in the face. Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, USA Rugby passed a rule that you couldn't even put a boot to each other anymore, and the great thing about the Old Boys tournament, the referees kind of, you know, I was captain of the team, and I asked them, I was like, how's the boot go? And they started laughing. I was like, well, you know, this is old boys rugby. Do what you got to do. So there was a lot of booting going on, and guys that were laying on the wrong side of the ball. One of our guys, Jesse, he felt the sting of another team's boot for not rolling out of the way. So it was different than that. And then also the play themselves seems to be a little dirtier. There's a little more lanyap going on in the bottom of the rucks and cheating and stuff, and the referees do let it go. It seems like it's more fun. It's not, they don't blow up the whistle. They kind of let play go. So it's great that old boys is kind of it's more fun to play, you know, than it actually matrix. It seems to be less, well, it's still serious, but not as, you know, life-threatening, you know, to win or lose. But it's kind of nice to see the referees just letting play go and have a little fun, and, you know, and you could slap the guy across you and just as a joke, and, you know, and it's nothing ever happened. So it was good. It was a real good thing.
Oh, and that's good. Now, just finally, before we have to let you go, what was the celebration like for you guys on this hat trick of a win?
Well, you know, the great thing about it, man, all these guys, they enjoy rugby and they enjoy life. So we toasted high. We had a big team pitcher, and then we, of course, a big team IE, the Baton Rouge battle cry, if you will, and, you know, we toasted high, and just, it was just typical rugby celebration, a lot of drinking and ass slapping and good times.
No, that's really good. Hunter, hey, I appreciate you coming back on the show again. You know, congratulations on the win again. I mean, I know for the old boys, it's always nice to be able to recollect that former field of glory and that even playing field, and definitely going to that old school kind of rugby where there's not so much stringent rules that go with it.
Yep, definitely, man. Well, Gift, I appreciate you having me on the show, man, and look forward to maybe appearing a couple more times, but you're doing a great thing here, man, and I wish you luck with it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Cheers, brother.
Welcome back, guys. So, you know, we were talking about what's going to be happening for rugby for this season, for this summer, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, rugby is a 365, you know, sport for the year. It doesn't really ever end. Now, mind you, we have specific seasons, you know, 15 seasons for us here in the South, you know, typically go from early February down to late April, and in nationals ending in May. Or, you know, you could be in the Texas Rugby League and it starts from October until May. But a lot of people don't realize that, you know, over the summer we have what is called Summer Sevens, and this is actually the basis of where the Olympics rugby is going to be coming from, which is sevens, where you see a lot of rugby on NBC. You see it with the Las Vegas Sevens tournament. You see it with the collegiate national sevens tournament in Philadelphia. So we have that coming up for this year, and it's usually originally never was that serious whenever they brought it on. Sevens wasn't technically supposed to just be a practice time, a practice league. Like, it's a smaller amount of people, you have the same size field, and it goes a lot faster. So it was supposed to be to help people be able to work on things like passing, be able to work on fundamentals. Well, it seems to have taken a life on its own, all of itself, and is almost starting to outplay 15s because of the fact that people enjoy the speedy nature that comes from sevens. And for me personally, you know, I've always played sevens, except for this past summer when I was just out of town a whole lot, so I didn't get a chance to do the tournaments like I wanted to. But, you know, sevens has been postered as this new epic rugby because it's a faster rugby, it's shorter. I mean, you go from having an 80-minute game for 15s down to having just a 15-minute game for 7s. But don't get me wrong, just because a time limit shortened does not make 7s rugby any easier. In fact, it becomes that much more exhausting, especially given that you have that same size field. So just a quick understanding of what 7s is. It's essentially, each team carries 7 players. You have your essentially your front row for the forwards, which is your prop, your hooker, and your tight head prop. Then after that, you only maintain your scrum half, a fly half, a center, a wing, and that will be your outside backs. So it's a much more condensed game, but because of the fact that the field range stays exactly the same, you do have much wider distance to cover. So sevens is not as much about trying to make hard-hitting tackles like it is in 15s, but it's about scoring, and that's why people love it so much. So this summer we have a number of teams that are going to be coming up. A lot of teams that don't have as many people for 15s will start coming up. Like, for example, we have here in Louisiana a new upcoming team coming out of Mandeville. They're called Lakeshore. Originally they were North Shore, but I guess somebody stole that name before they got a chance at it. So Lakeshore out of Mandeville, and they will be starting their inaugural season this season, just trying to get their name out there. And this is usually how teams start to do their recruiting. A lot of people find it actually easier to play sevens because it's not as many people and it's a little less, the rules aren't as stringent as they are for 15s. But, you know, we have that coming up. And on top of that, we have premier teams. Like, we have the New Orleans Royals are made up of a lot of A-side Division I New Orleans players. A lot of them that came out of straight out of LSU and are having a chance to just be able to play for a national championship for sevens rugby. We have Louisiana Exiles, which is the high school all-star team for sevens, taking the best of Louisiana high school rugby players and putting them together to create a pretty epic sevens team. I've seen them the last couple years as well. And, you know, you just continue to build from that. So there's those teams that you have to be able to watch. And then on top of that, you just get a numerous amount of tournaments. That's the other thing that happens with seven season. People don't realize that you do have a chance to, you know, loosen up a little bit more. If 15s is the drag season that goes and, you know, you have to, you know, fight for it. Sevens is the one that should be loosened up. Yes, it's a faster game, but you also party harder, you play harder, and you do a lot more. So, you know, tournaments become one part of it, a major social aspect where you get to meet more rugby people, especially if you travel around the country. There's hundreds of tournaments that happen every single year. Baton Rouge runs one in July called Redfish Tournament, and that one is always a great time. You know, great competition. It always ends up being fun in the end. In addition to that, you also have things like tournaments that are outside of Louisiana, well, you know, outside of Baton Rouge. You have the Hot August Nights Tournament down in Hammond, Louisiana, and returning back to Lakeshore, you have they're actually beginning to do their inaugural tournament for this year. So, You know, you just see how much you have available to be able to do sevens. And people just, you can't get enough of it. I know for me, some of the most enjoyable amount of rugby played is during sevens. Now, I'm not going to lie, it's not necessarily on the field, but it's because, and it's probably because we get to party a lot harder and you get to go out and travel and you have more excuses to travel than, you know, to the same places that you normally go. But nonetheless, you still get a chance to be able to interact and enjoy the game just a lot more, just more than you normally would do. I know there's certain cities, like I never would have gone to Panama City. Yes, I know. It's a spring break beach city. But look, you live in Florida at one point in time. You see one beach, you've seen them all. But going to Panama City, playing their tournament, always a great time. You know, going to Pidgeotent out in Chattanooga, always a great time. Memphis, the Elvis tournament, always a great time. And then, as the aforementioned ones that I did, Redfish and Hot August Nights and Hammond, you know, those are always great times. And you always have fun doing these tournaments. So you never really realize until you've gotten them done. But either way, it's a chance that people need to do. We're going to try and cover a little bit about it over the summer. But you guys just stay tuned, pay attention for that. Also, you know, I wanted to talk about a little bit on the high school rugby side because found out that Shaw had moved up to in the national rankings according to rugbymag.com. Now, they were 20th the last time we talked. I think that was a month ago. They were ranked 20th in the nation. And after winning the Louisiana State tournament, they got to move up to 16th. So over the course of the next 3 weeks, we're going to see a multitude of matches. On April 27th is the beginning of the U.S. national teams for college rugby. And that's the same with even club. And in May 4th, you get the regional high school national playoffs, which Shaw will inevitably be participating in. So we get to see a lot more rugby still happening. And seventh season is coming up. It really doesn't start really until about June, late May, June. But any teams that try and do it earlier than that, I think they're always foolhardy. And, you know, I give them props for trying. But look, people are in 15s mode. Consider it like this is an off season. I know for me, this is my off season as I get ready to do sevens. And, you know, a lot of people have been training for sevens since the beginning of March, and it's nice concept to say do a sevens tournament after a multitude of teams have not made it to the playoffs, but people won't ever feel like it's actually over until it's actually over. But backtracking on what I was saying, you know, Shaw moving into number 16th national, I think that's huge, still huge for Louisiana. I hope it continues to breed a lot more respect for the state and the high school levels, especially as we continue to grow from that next spot. Because look, Louisiana rugby can't improve until, you know, improve nationally and gain the respect that it does unless it does well within its own state. And it has to be able to stand out among itself. So hopefully the Shaw team is able to bring the hammer to a lot of people because we want them to be able to show that, you know, the best rugby isn't played in the Midwest. It's not played in California. You know, it's not played in, as far as the South, it's not only played in Florida and Tennessee. We want to show that Louisiana has it down. And we've talked about this a million and a half times and we'll keep bringing it up because we can. It's about trying to show out about everything that we have to do. So, you know, we are happy that teams like Shaw are doing so well and are able to show out the way that they are supposed to. But, you know, this is just the way that it goes. This is how the summer goes. You know, people don't normally see it, but this is the way the summer goes. We set ourselves up for hard rugby. We set ourselves for hard partying, having fun, and just making sure that we continue to improve until this next fall session. So as 15s is dissipating to end, you guys just stay around, stay tuned. Next up, though, we're going to go and we'll talk a little bit about the score, the games that are coming up, not necessarily for this weekend, but for the upcoming weekend. And I think we mentioned a little bit of them so far, so it won't be too much. So you guys stay tuned, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. Just before I get started on this last segment, I just want to talk a little bit. Just want to say, if you guys have anything that you guys want to ask us, you know, come check us out. We're on Twitter at Gift Time Sports. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/gifttimeproductions. And you can email us, gifttimeproductions.gmail.com. That doesn't make sense. gifttimeproductions@gmail.com. You know, just let us know. Just talk to us. We want to be able to make sure that we can be able to give you what it is that you need, because look, you can't continue and build unless we know what's going on with you. So just let us know. But anyways, we're going to get into the scores to the games that are happening this weekend, and there are none. The only game that was supposed to happen, at least for this weekend, got canceled. That was Baton Rouge women were playing Hub City, and unfortunately got canceled this week. So there is nothing, but next week and the week after, we do have some major games. We'll have New Orleans D1 starting off their playoff run, the round of 32, going up to Chicago to play the Chicago Griffins. And we talked about that before, and we'll talk about it more in detail next week. And then we have New Orleans women playing their first home game, for the season against Memphis. Also, there is a round robin for the Baton Rouge women's team on the 27th versus NOLA, Baton Rouge, and Memphis. So they'll be coming over there too. So yeah, all right, there you go. So we'll be able to take those in, and then, like I said, we have tournament games coming this week. We'll end up taking a break later on and then get started into the seventh season. So you guys just stay tuned. Thank you guys for listening. It's been great. Hope you guys have a great weekend. You guys take care of yourself. And this is Bayou Rugby with Gifty signing out.